You're a kind man. Thank you. Bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to be in God's house tonight. Amen. Cold outside, but warm on the inside. And but I want to, some of you have asked about Sister Mackie, and I just wanted to give you a little update. She, I would say 2013 is probably the most difficult year that my wife has ever faced, mainly because of a deteriorating condition in her lower part of her spine. She was in a severe car accident, and it's just a little girl cast, you know, thrown from the back seat over the front seat up under the dashboard. And of course, back then, I don't know what x-rays they took or what they did, you know, back in, 1950 or whatever. But I remember years ago, a doctor said she'd probably be in a wheelchair by the time she was 40. And, but of course, she's a little bit older than that now, and she still isn't. But she really has not slept all night in probably over a year. She'll sleep and lay in bed, and the pain will be so great it wakes her up, and she'll have to sit up a while and sleep sitting up, and then maybe lay down again. And so, and they've tried injections into her spine, but it just kind of masks all the pain that she has. And then for her, it's really, there's been some side effects that, you know, that she doesn't like. And the medical world's been talking to her about some other options, and surgery really isn't going to be the answer, at least not one. But so starting in July, we are constantly praying about it, believing God for it. But in the month of July, Sister Mackie said, you know, I'm just going to leave the doctors alone for a while and, just really put my trust in God and my faith in God. And so ever since that moment, really, folks, she's been walking better. She's, for a long time there, you know, I was loading the dishwasher, unloading the dishwasher, doing the laundry, doing the vacuuming, doing whatever I could, you know, to make it easier so she didn't have to bend or lift or whatever. But now she's doing all of that, praise God, you know. But anyway, you know, I always want to be there for her. And she's really, really, really doing better. And I know many of you have told me through this past year that I've been visiting here, I think this is my fifth or sixth time to preach her this year, and that, you know, you're praying for Sister Mackie. Now, some people, I'm sorry to say in Pentecost, some people just say, we'll pray for you. Whether they do or not, I don't know, you know. But I know there are people here that say, we're going to pray for Sister Mackie, and I know you have, you know. But she wanted me to give you a good report, an encouraging report, you know, because she really is doing better. She every now and again she has to walk with a cane, but more and more she's not using a cane, and she has some invitations to do some speaking in 2014, and she's agreed to do that, by faith. And so, but I just wanted to let you know that she's doing much, much better, and that she sends her thanks, and I also thank you, you know, for praying for her. This church is probably the closest thing we have to a church family. You know, sometimes as an evangelist, you're kind of out there on a limb someplace, you know. But I appreciate the fact that you would kind of take Sister Mackie under, you know, on your heart and pray for her. But we also ask you for your continued prayers. Now I myself, God has blessed me with good health, really. I mean, I've never missed a revival because of sickness in almost 40 years, never. And I never lose my voice. I mean, I don't have allergies. I just keep going. Sister Mackie always says to me, are you 35 yet? You know? I mean, and I thank the Lord for that. And I find myself when I'm driving sometimes just thanking God for these things, you know, that sometimes I just take for granted. But I do want to thank you for your prayers for Sister Mackie. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, shall we, while we stand? And let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I really thank the Lord that every time I come back here that there's new faces I've never seen before. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know that we are laborers together with God. I mean, God, I'm glad God does his part, but I want to do my part to work with God. And I just know there are people out here that would want what we have. If somehow they just knew about it, you know. You know, every time I see billboards on the highway, I just wish every billboard talked about the Holy Ghost or about God or about the word of the Lord. But I'm very thankful for truth, and we're going to talk about one of the aspects of that truth tonight, because I want to encourage you to really talk to somebody about it in a logical way. So Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And all these people that were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's pray, shall we? Again, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here, how you've already ministered to so many. Now, God, I ask that you'll let this word penetrate our hearts. Give us understanding, God. Give us a desire, God, to share and to tell others. God, let your Spirit move in every heart and life in this building tonight. For your glory and honor, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. May 8th, 1957. My father was pastoring a church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and I was doing my homework, and I had been baptized in Jesus' name, but I had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I was doing my homework, and I felt God speak to me. I just felt his impression. I heard his voice. That if I could get to church, that, you know, God would fill me with the Holy Ghost. So I remember running out of the bedroom and going and telling my dad, "Dad, if I could get to church tonight, God's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost." Now, the Lord could have filled me in my bedroom, but I'm just telling you my experience. So my dad said, "Okay." So my mother and father have 7 children. I'm the second oldest. So my dad said, "Okay, let's go to church." And his best friend in the ministry was about 80 miles down the road and was having a revival service. So we got my older brother to stay home with my 5 younger brothers and sisters. And we got in the car to go to church 80 miles down the road through the back hills of Pennsylvania. And there was so much construction and I don't know. And it just seemed like it took us forever to get to church. And so when we got to the revival service, when I came through the back doors of the church, the evangelist had just finished preaching and closed his Bible and had people stand. So I did not sing a song, I did not sit in a pew, and I did not hear a man preach. So he's having people stand. I came in the door, they said, "All right, we're going to open up this altar now." I remember coming down the center aisle and praying over here on the left-hand side, because in this church all the men kind of prayed on the left-hand side and all the women on the right-hand side. And I prayed until my arms were heavy. I prayed till my voice was hoarse. I prayed till my knees hurt, because no one told me how easy it was to receive the Holy Ghost. But anyway, but I remember kneeling there with the hands on my lap and my head bowed. And you know what? I was not time conscious. I was not people conscious. I was not music conscious, but I was totally God conscious. And I was just kneeling there, and I said, "Lord, I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you." And I felt the presence of God rest on the back of my head, and just go right through my neck, into my shoulders, and kind of flow through me, and I begin to speak words that I did not understand. In fact, I sat in the back seat of my father's car 80 miles home and spoke words that I did not understand. So the next morning, I get up and get on the school bus and go to junior high school. And so I walked into my homeroom, and I walked up to my homeroom teacher, and I said, "Guess what happened to me last night?" And she said, "What?" I said, "I got the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in tongues." So she stood up, put her hand gently on my shoulder, and she said, "That's nice, Jonathan." She said, "But why did you speak in tongues?" And do you know what I did? I hung my head and I scratched it. I said, "I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I spoke in tongues." Do you know what I've discovered after 40 years of traveling and 10 years of assisting and pastoring? There are still people in our pews that don't know why we speak in tongues. But there's a logical reason why we speak in tongues in this church. Now, when someone asks you, "Why do you speak in tongues?" there's a better answer than, "Well, you've got to, that's why." You know, I mean, that's not the right Bible answer. All right. I mean, I remember preaching a weekend revival for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because this church had a thriving campus ministry. And so the pastor and I went out to the campus, you know, in the middle of the afternoon when there weren't many classes and there were students everywhere, and we were inviting college kids out to the Pentecostal revival. And I saw three guys walking down the sidewalk, and I walked up to them and I said, "My name's Jonathan Mackey, and I want to invite you three gentlemen to a Pentecostal church." I said, "Have you ever been to a Pentecostal church?" And the man in the middle said, "I've never been to one, but I've heard about them though." And I said, "What have you heard?" He said, "I heard that they swing from the chandeliers and jump over three pews at one time." And I said, "Would you like to come and see them do that?" He goes, "Yeah," he goes, "that would be a neat show." He came on Saturday night, not on that Friday, but he came on Saturday night. He didn't see anyone swing from the chandeliers or jump over three pews at one time, but he came to the altar and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord filled him. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never spoken with other tongues, I want you to know it's a Bible experience and God wants to fill you. And if you have received the Holy Ghost, you should be able to logically explain to your spouse, to your boss, to your employee, to your neighbor, why we speak in tongues and why we emphasize this so much in this church. Now, in Acts chapter 2, do you understand this is the first place anyone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, "I am with you, but I shall be in you. I must go away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter cannot come." And he said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high." And this is what happened in verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 8 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 8 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 15. This is the second Bible record we have of what happened when people received the Holy Ghost. Referring to Peter and John, it says, "Who were, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So even though they were baptized, they had not received the Holy Ghost yet. So then it says in verse 17, "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." This is the second Bible record we have. And do you know what? There's no tongues mentioned anywhere. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 44, is the third Bible record we have of what actually happened when the Holy Ghost was given. In Acts 10, 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 10. Now, Acts chapter 19 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 19, this is the fourth Bible record of what happened when people received the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 19, verse 2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Or did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So many people fit into this category. They've sat on their church pews for years, and they've never heard their pastors tell them, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad there's an apostolic church right here? All right. And so then it says in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now these are the four actual Bible references of when people, what happened when people received the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2, in Acts 10, and then Acts 19, they spoke in tongues. And in Acts 8, there are no tongues mentioned. So some people sincerely believe not everyone speaks in tongues when they do receive the Holy Ghost. And I can see why they might believe that way. But let's look back at Acts chapter 8 again, just for a moment. All right, Acts chapter 8, it says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 8, and there was great joy in that city. Great joy in verse 8, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit until verse 17. All right, verse 17. So joy is not the evidence of the Spirit of God. Joy is not the evidence. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And listen, it takes a lot of faith for someone to step out of that pew, come down to this altar, you know, raise their hands, begin to worship God, and yield their tongue to the Spirit of God. It takes faith to do that. And they begin to speak in tongues. And in my travels as an evangelist, sometimes I see little groups of people in our churches that I call joy analyzers. Because here's people, I mean, the person has their hands raised, eyes closed, speaking in tongues, and here comes the joy analyzers. They look at them and say, I don't see any joy. Do you see any joy? Uh-uh, where's the joy? As if sometimes they got to be laughing, shouting, ha, 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 laughing, doing cartwheels, ha! Then they have the Holy Ghost. Listen, if God gives you the cartwheels, take them, all right? But because you haven't done cartwheels, does that mean you haven't received the Holy Ghost? Because now the person gets them speaking in tongues, and there's four joy analyzers looking at them with long looks of doubt on their face, and where's the joy? And instantly doubt fills that person's heart. Did I receive the Holy Spirit or not? Listen, some laugh when they receive it, some cry. You know, some are more emotional than others. But the initial Bible evidence is not whether you laugh or cry. The initial Bible evidence is you begin to speak with other tongues. All right. And there was great joy in that city. Do you know why? Because there's a man by the name of Philip preaching Jesus Christ. And, folks, unclean spirits came out. Palsies were healed. Those people that were lame walked. This brings great joy anywhere. But then it says in verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. One translation says, from the poorest to the richest, saying, this man Simon is the great power of God. And to Simon they had regard, because out of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So here is Simon, and do you know what? He's acquainted with the supernatural. Now, we are kidding ourselves if we don't think the devil has power, because he does have power. You know, Moses and Aaron go before the Pharaoh, throw their rod down, and it turns into a serpent. Pharaoh goes, big deal. He calls in his magicians. They throw down their rods, and their rods turned into serpents. All right? But the serpent of Moses devoured all the serpents of the Pharaoh, letting us know that the power of God is greater than any power that the devil has. Okay, but he but he was acquainted with the supernatural. There are tribes in jungles and overseas where when they're being initiated as a witch doctor, they would take a sharp piece of bone and cut their cheek, all right, and push it through their mouth, out this side of the cheek, and instantly in front of the people, the wound heals. You know, and there's no cutting, there's no bleeding. Folks, this influences people. I remember hearing about one tribe where when the witch doctor died, they buried him in the ground with just his head sticking out of the ground, and they put a big pot over his head, and then, you know, the flesh is falling out, the eyeballs are falling out, and, you know, and they go to this pot for counsel. I mean, this pot whistles, it hums, it chants. Ooh, that would do something to me, okay? All right. But so this is where Simon was. I don't know whether he had a tarot cards, tea leaves, crystal ball. But folks, there's an ingredient in every individual in this house and in Racine, Wisconsin, for the supernatural. Folks, you know what? Folks, they are making more movies now, horror, that have ghosts, you know, and spirits more than ever before. Folks, and it's really, really just a trick of the enemy. But I want you to know the only supernatural that you ever need is found right in this building in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, every little town I preach in now has horoscopes in their newspaper. Even if it's just a weekly newspaper, there's a little horoscope in there. Now, you know, I mean, I'm not into that astrology bit at all. Although I was born in March, I don't even know what sign I am, and who cares? All right, but now there's psychic conventions everywhere. There's 1-800 psychic phone calls. You know, call this psychic. I mean, I've said this before. I'm so tempted to call one of those numbers, 1-800. And they answer the phone and they say, "What's your name?" And I'm going to say, "You're the psychic. You tell me, right? Really? You don't impress me, buddy. You know what I'm saying?" But Simon was acquainted with the supernatural. But now it's in verse 17. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He saw the lame walking. He saw palsies healed. He saw demons cast out. But he did not offer them money. He said, "Hey, give me this power." Oh, no. Because, folks, amen, when he saw the Holy Ghost given, he saw something greater than the lame walking, greater than palsies being healed. Because the greatest miracle is when the presence of God comes and fills a man or a woman, and they begin to speak with others. That's the greatest miracle. So because tongues is not mentioned does not mean tongues did not happen. The Bible's not a history book. It does not record every detail in every circumstance in every situation. But it says in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. All right, the fact that they spoke in tongues in Acts 2, Acts 10, and amen, in Acts 19, speaking in tongues is established. Now, I remember preaching a revival for my father in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, when he pastored there. I was there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And there was a college student that came from Minneapolis, Minnesota, from the University of Minnesota, to this revival service, all right? And her name is Pam, right? Friday night, Pam comes to the altar. She's just trembling under the Holy Ghost. Folks, I mean, she has slacks. You know, obviously she had never been in apostolic church before, but there's tears, I mean, and her hands are just at her side trembling. And I could tell she was very fearful. And so I talked to Pam. I said, "No, Pam, you don't have to be afraid of this. That's God." But she said, "But why am I trembling? Why am I crying?" And I said, "Because that's the way God touches people sometimes, but he wants you to know he's real to you." So Pam comes back Saturday night with her fiancé, David. And on Saturday night, both Pam and Dave come to the altar. They repent of sins. They are both filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, even before they are baptized in Jesus' name. So on Sunday afternoon, Pam goes back to the University of Wisconsin. Now, Pam is in her sorority house. And her parents are very, very wealthy. They live on the Gold Coast in Chicago. They live on this condominium right across from the Wrigley family of Wrigley, Spearman, Gum. You know, Pam's mom and dad had Sister Mackie and I there for dinner one time. They had the maid, they had the butler, and I had so many forks and spoons. I didn't know which one to use, you know what I'm saying? But so now Pam's in the sorority house, and there's only 20, and she has influence with over 20 girls. Now Pam, before she came to the Apostolic Church, went to a witch in Edina, Minnesota every Friday. And the witch would read the tarot cards and the crystal leaves and told Pam never to get married because her husband was going to die when she was 23 years of age. Folks, I mean, they were in meditation. They were in astral projection. They would meditate until their soul would leave their body, you know, and they would be floating around looking at themselves laying on the bed. And it was pretty soon it was so fearful that they would keep the lights on day and night, keep the shades pulled, because they were afraid that their soul would somehow get away and never come back to their body. Now that's what Pam was involved in, and leading all these girls on the pathway of the occult. Now she goes back to the sorority house and she tells her friends, "Hey, I found what we're looking for. I'm not going to go to the witch in Edina anymore. I'm not going to go into meditation or astral projection anymore. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues." And they knew something happened to Pam, and she's trying to talk to them. And then she finally calls Sister Mackie and me and said, "Hey, Brother and Sister Mackie, would you be willing to come to the university and talk to my friends about the Holy Ghost a little bit?" And I said, "Absolutely." So a few weeks later, we set a date. Sister Mackie and I traveled almost 200 miles one way to go to the University of Minnesota. So they had this little meeting room in the sorority house, and there are about 22 girls there, Pam and Sister Mackie and me. I'm the only guy there. All right, so the girls are sitting out there. We put three chairs, you know, Pam, Sister Mackie, and me. So I just open up my Bible, and I'm talking to them like I'm talking to you. Now, this was not a church service, so some of the girls were doing homework, you know, and then after a while they got interested, and you could tell some were really interested and some were not. But this one girl brought a couple skeins of yarn, and she was doing some knitting. But every now and again, I would make a point that she did not agree with. And it was obvious, because she would get out of a big sigh, and she would knit faster. I mean, just like this. And the knitting needles are just clicking together, you know? And I ignore that. And then I would talk some more. She would get exasperated, throw the knitting on her lap, and slouch down in her chair and look at me just like this. And then a little bit later, she got upset and picked up the knitting needles and was knitting. So finally, I stopped. I said, "All right, everyone in this room that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, please raise your hand." I raised mine. Sister Mackie raised hers. Pam raised hers. The only one who raised their hands was the woman with the knitting needles. She said, "I do." And I said, "I'm so glad you do." I said, "Would you please tell this group of girls what happened to you when you received the Holy Ghost?" So she put down her knitting needles, and she's rubbing her knees, and she put her head down, and she clears her throat. "What happened to me when I received the Holy Ghost?" She goes, "Well," she said, "it was a long time ago." Then she got frustrated. She said, "It was a long time ago, and I can't remember, but even though I didn't speak in tongues, I know I have the Holy Ghost." Now that speaks for itself. I don't care if the Holy Ghost happened to you this morning, last week, or 40 years ago. You will never forget what happened the moment that God filled you with His Spirit. You will never forget that. But I want to ask that type of person, if Simon had been present, would he have paid money for that experience? I doubt it, folks. But something supernatural happened. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 2, all right, and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with other tongues." After all these years as an evangelist, I'm still working around altars, and I hear very sincere altar workers tell someone they're praying with, "Let God speak, let God speak." Folks, God doesn't speak in tongues. You speak in tongues. You know, so when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak words you do not understand. It's your voice, your lips, your tongue, your vocal cords. But the Spirit of God gives you the words that you say. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One translation said they begin to talk in other languages as the Spirit of God enabled them. Another translation says they begin to speak in languages they did not know as the Spirit of God gave them the ability. So when the Holy Ghost comes, you do the speaking, but God's giving you the words that you say. But then it says in verse 5, then there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this, that's a very important word. Let's all say this. This. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? And it lists all the languages that were spoken, the language of the Parthians, the Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egyptian, parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Italian, Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arabic. Do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? So when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's an unknown tongue to you as the speaker, but someone else in the room could understand you. People overseas that can't speak a word of English have received the Holy Ghost speaking in perfect English. They don't understand a word they are saying, but the missionary understands every word. When I was pastoring a church in Albany, New York, a Jewish rabbi came to the service. And he sat through the song service, sat through the preaching, and he was getting ready to leave this service. And there was a young man at the altar. The Holy Ghost fell on him. He began to speak in tongues. And normally I wouldn't do this, but I took the microphone and I put it right by his mouth so the speaking in tongues came through the PA system. Boy, that rabbi turned. He comes right down the aisle, comes and stands right next to this young man. His hands are raised. His face is raised. He's speaking in other tongues. And the rabbi said, where does he go to school? And I said, what do you mean? He said, he is speaking one of the purest forms of Hebrew that I've ever heard in my entire life. And the man was just giving praises to Jehovah and praises to God. Amen. You know, and it was just marvelous. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you can receive the Holy Ghost speaking in German if you don't know German. But someone from Germany could understand you. All right. Now, but not only do we have joy analyzers in our churches, we have another group of people that I call language experts, okay? Because it takes faith for someone to step out of that pew, come down this aisle, come to this altar, raise their hands, worship God, and open up their mouth and yield their tongue to the Holy Ghost and speak words they do not understand. So here's the joy analyzers. Do you see any joy? Uh-uh, I don't see any joy. Now they're speaking in tongues. Here comes the language experts. Doesn't sound like a language to me. Listen to this, huh? Doesn't sound like a language to me. And now they get done speaking in tongues and they open up their eyes excited, and there's four joy analyzers and there's three language experts with long looks of doubt on their faces. And suddenly the person that spoke in tongues, doubt fills them and said, did I receive the Holy Ghost or not? Now I spoke in tongues 80 miles all the way home, all right, from that revival. By the time I came home from school the next day, know what the devil said? You just made it all up. That wasn't God, that was you. You were just saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus real fast. Your tongue got twisted and you just said a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Now, folks, I was only 13 years of age. So he had me convinced. I said, oh, no, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Lord, if I made it up, I'm so sorry. So then, and then another night later, my father and mom, we took the whole family back to that same revival. I remember coming to the altar, raising my hands to worship God, and this time I felt the presence of God start through my fingers, through my arms, through my chest, amen, into my legs, and I begin to dance in the spirit backwards. Never tripped, never stumbled, never bumped into anybody, and spoke in tongues the whole time. And when I finished dancing in the spirit, I told the devil, I didn't make that up, buddy. You know? So I want you to know, folks, you will be trembling, crying, weeping, and you know you're not making it up. You know it's God. But as soon as the tongues are there, the devil's going to be right there saying, that's not God, that's you. Because the devil will let you weep and cry for years. He does not want you to speak in tongues. He does not. So, you know, the language experts. Doesn't sound like a language to me. I was preaching in Athens, Greece. It was an international service. Everyone there, I mean, there were 15 nations represented in the service. And they were mostly college kids, and they all understood English, so I did not need a translator. But there was a woman that came into that service, a very distinguished, refined-looking woman compared to these hippie-type, you know, college kids that were sitting out there. All right. But we opened up the altar, and here she comes, this refined woman, her hands raised, tears, mascara rolling down her cheeks. You know, she's worshiping God in English. And then she starts speaking in another tongue. And I said, yes, that's it. She says, oh, no, Brother Mackey, I know that language. So I said, okay. So now she starts worshiping God in English again. And now she starts speaking in another language. I said, yes, that's it. She says, oh, no, I understand that language too. And so I said, can I ask who you are? Brother Demas and I were there. Can we ask who you are? She said, yes. She said, I'm a translator for the United Nations, and I speak 9 languages, you know, 9. So she worshiped God in English for a while, French for a while, Arabic for a while, you know. And so she's just praying. And then you can visibly see the Spirit of God move on her. Tears. And she started speaking. She didn't stop speaking. She just opened up her eyes and looked at us and went, you know, I don't know this language. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's going to be an unknown tongue to you as the speaker. So, verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? This. In other words, why is this Galilean speaking Arabic? Why is this Galilean speaking Italian? Why is this Galilean speaking Mesopotamian? What meaneth this? Now, what do you think the word this refers to? Tongues, yeah. That's why. If there's a woman up here speaking in tongues, and here comes her husband and says, what's she doing? What meaneth this? Well, she's got the Holy Ghost. That's the only answer we can give. And for all of you language experts out there, how many languages do you speak besides English, American, and Wisconsin? You know? Really? Come on. You need to encourage. You know, there's over 6,000 languages in this world. There's over 2,000 dialects in the country of India. Listen, don't hinder somebody. Encourage somebody when they receive the Holy Ghost. I don't care if they speak in tongues 20 seconds or 20 minutes. That's the evidence. All right. Now, so then Peter answers the question when they said, what meaneth this? Peter said in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So what happens when God pours out his Spirit? People begin to speak in a language they do not understand. Now, let's look at verse 33. Verse 33 of Acts chapter 2. And this is one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. There's that word again. Let's all say this. This, which ye now, let's say the last three words together, see and hear. Let's do it one more time. See and hear. How about one more time? See and hear. When Simon saw that the Holy Ghost was given, when this was noised abroad, when the Holy Ghost comes, you see something and you hear something. That's why Jesus said the wind blows wherever it wants to. You cannot see the wind, but you know it's there. Curtains are blowing in the breeze, tree branches are moving, and you hear the sound thereof. We cannot see the Holy Ghost, but we know when it's there. Hands are trembling. Tears are on the cheek. The lip is quivering, but we just don't want to see the effects of the wind. We want to hear the sound of the wind. And the sound is you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God fills you. One translation says, what you now see and hear is the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 10 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Literally, that we're listening to the message. So that's why if you want to sleep in church, sleep during the song service, but wake up for the preaching, okay? Because, folks, when you really listen, God does things in your life. And they of the circumcision, or the Jews, which believed, were astonished. Because, you know what? If you think there's prejudice today, there was really prejudice between the Jew and the Gentile. I mean, here's the Jews were astonished. Do you know why? I know what their attitude was? Man, we're the sons of Abraham, you know? We kind of deserve this gift. But the Gentiles? Do you know what the Gentiles were to Jews? Dogs. And I'm not talking pedigree dogs. I'm talking junkyard dogs, you know, that you keep chained up and over here by the scrap metal, whatever. All right. No, they were amazed. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? That first word in verse 46 is so important. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In fact, one translation says it this way. The Jews were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to the Gentiles too. But there could be no doubt about it. For they heard them speak with tongues. How do you know this man's got the Holy Ghost, Brother Mackey? No doubt about it. I heard him speak with tongues. How do you know this young person's got the Holy Ghost? No doubt about it. I heard them speak with tongues. All right. Now, they were so upset that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost that they had a church conference in Acts chapter 11. All right. And Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. All right, I mean, they said, now, hey, are you sure those Gentiles, dogs, received the Holy Ghost? And this is what Peter said in verse 15. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, I don't know how they're getting the Holy Ghost, you know, on TBN. I don't know how they're getting the Holy Ghost, you know, on the 900, 800, 700 club. I mean, I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost like they got it way back at the beginning in the book of Acts chapter 2. That's how I received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. But that's the only evidence that the Jews would accept for the Gentiles. Now, I was doing knocking on doors with a home missionary one time, and we were doing Find the Field survey. We just had a list of questions we were asking people, knocking on the door, inviting them to church. It was summertime in the month of August. So we were in a mobile home court. I knocked on this door, and we decided to put one more question on this questionnaire. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Knocked on this door. This woman answered, and I went through all the questions. And I said, by the way, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? She goes, yes, I just received it this morning. I said, wonderful. Tell me about it. So she invites me in, and she said, I have five children, five. She emphasized. She said, I got up, gave them breakfast, put them outside to play, and I took my Bible, had my devotion, and prayed. And she said, and when I finished praying, there was total, absolute, pure silence. She said, and when you have five kids and it's quiet, that's a miracle right there, she said. But she said, I just waited. No kids, no cars, no trucks, no horns honking, and I just waited. And a bird landed right on that tree branch. And that bird opened up its mouth and began to sing. And when that bird sang, I knew God had filled me with the Holy Ghost. You know? I mean, I've heard of so many strange evidences in my 40 years as an evangelist. Because I've gone to visitors and said, have you received the Holy Ghost? And these are some answers I've received. And I don't say this disrespectfully, but folks, it astonishes me. Have you received the Holy Ghost? This one woman said, yes, I have. I said, how do you know? She said, because my eyes fluttered, is what she said. I asked this other man, have you received the Holy Ghost? Yes, I have. How do you know? Because I had these chills go down the back of my neck. I remember talking to one man, have you received the Holy Ghost? Yes, I have. I said, how do you know? He said, because I had this deep, deep burning in my stomach. And I just wondered what kind of pizza they ate the night before. You know what I'm saying? This woman at the trailer park, well, I heard a bird sing. There was a Seventh-day Adventist woman that came to church when I preached in Duluth, Minnesota. She did not come to the altar. I ran to meet her at the door, and I said, ma'am, I'm so glad you came to the service tonight. And I said, have you received the Holy Ghost? She said, yes, I have. I said, how do you know? She said, because when I kissed my hand, it tasted like honey. Now, folks, I'm not making this up, all right? Now, listen, I'm not telling you your hand did not taste like honey, that the bird did not sing, that your stomach did not burn, that your eyes did not flutter, and chills did not go down your spine. Amen. But how do you know you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Thank God for a Bible evidence. Let's all clap our hands for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So we should never be embarrassed because we speak in tongues. People should be a little bit, not embarrassed, but hesitant to say, I haven't spoken in tongues. So if you're here tonight and you've never spoken in tongues, that's the evidence. But why? 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 Let's turn to the book of James. Again, James. All right, right after the book of Hebrews in the Bible, H-I-J. All right, Hebrews. All right, James. And sometimes we can't, you know, we can't. James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, in his speech, if he does not offend in speech or never says the wrong thing, one translation says he is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So if there's anyone in this congregation tonight that can honestly raise your hand and say, I've never said the wrong thing at the wrong time. You've never said something that said, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. You're a perfect man. Anyone here want to acknowledge? See, there's no one perfect here tonight, you know. I remember when I was 5 years old and I sassed my father, talked back to him. I tell you, boy, he went and got to the bathroom and got a bar of Ivory soap. And he did not wash my hands and he did not wash my ears. Folks, he put some of that soap in my mouth and said, you don't talk to your father like that. I blew bubbles the rest of the day. Yeah. And know what? I never sassed again, ever. I've seen, and I never died of soap poisoning either. I'm here tonight, right? I've seen a few kids on my travels that could use the old bar of soap treatment. I've even seen saints that could use a bar of soap treatment. Don't put me in a prison now because I said that. No. I just heard on the news driving over here yesterday that this teenager threatened his father with a knife. Because he didn't buy him a video game for Christmas. Man, I don't know what I would do to him, but folks, I'll tell you, this is crazy. But this tongue, that's why it says in verse 5, the tongue is a little member, but it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity or rebellion against God. All right, so is the tongue among our members that defiles the whole body, and our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So it's the tongue that defiles it and setteth on fire the course of nature, and the tongue, it is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Man can tame the tigers, the lions, the elephants, the killer whales. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue is an unruly evil. The tongue is full of deadly poison. That is why one of the hardest things for people to lay on this altar is their tongue. Because most altars aren't long enough. I mean,
Some tongues stretch from here to New Orleans, you know. And really, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, leap buildings in a single bound. For all you Superman people out there, you know. No, boy, does she have a sharp tongue. What does she do, take it out and file it every morning? You know, really. No, folks, we all have discovered this little member can get us in a lot of trouble. It is deadly poison. A man can be wounded by a bullet and the wound heals. Wounded by a knife and the wound heals. But wounds that happen because of words never heal. Between governments, between neighbors, between siblings, between spouses. And I'm embarrassed to say even between Christians and even between pastors. That's how deadly this tongue is. So when we're living in a day where people say, God will give you my eyes, I'll just watch what you want me to watch. God will give you my feet. I would just, you know, I'll just walk where you want me to walk. Folks, it's not the eyes, it's not the feet, but it's the tongue that defiles the whole body. And when you come to this altar and you yield this unruly member to God and you are beginning to speak in other tongues, it's at that moment where God has control of you. And the Bible says, you know, it's now a bit and a bridle in our mouth, in our life. If you speak in tongues in here, you should live godly out there. If you speak in tongues in here, you should please God out there. I'm sorry to say, in my travels, I meet so many people that said, you know, Brother Mackey, I spoke in tongues a little bit that first time, but I've never spoken in tongues since. For every young person here, new convert, say to many years, don't go days, weeks, months without taking this unruly member and yielding it to the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you spoke with tongues? Amen. It's absolutely essential to be a part of your life. I was preaching another revival, and the church blacktop parking lot came right up to the neighbor's yard. There was no fence, right up to their lawn. Walk across their lawn, there's their back door, there's their house. First night of revival. All right? This lady walks out her back door, comes across the lawn, comes into the doors of the Apostolic Church. All right? And had never been in an Apostolic Church before. So she comes to the altar. And I mean, there's tears, mascara, she's just trembling. And do you know what? She yielded and she began to speak with other tongues. And she's so startled by this that she's standing up and she's walking back and forth in the front with her eyes open, speaking in tongues. And I just happened to look at two dear sisters of the church sitting on the front pew watching her. And I read their lips as one of them said to the other lady, she's got her eyes open. So now we have joy analyzers, language experts, and eye examiners, you know? Really, it doesn't say in Acts 2:57 you need your eyes closed when you receive the Holy Ghost, all right? No, she's got her eyes open. But anyway, so this woman is so, she's so excited. She goes home, she walks across the parking lot, across the lawn, into the back door, you know? And she's telling her husband, Dave, you know, about this wonderful experience. And then she said, Dave, do you realize that I have not had a cigarette since 6:30 before I went to church? And now it's 10:30 at night. And she was so addicted to tobacco. If she just went 3 hours without a cigarette, I mean, ooh, she was like this. But she said, Dave, she said, I don't even want a cigarette. Because your body's not the temple of drugs or tobacco, amen, or alcohol. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But anyway, here she is. And so that revival goes 1 week, then it goes a second week. She says, Dave, come on to church with me. The revival's going another week. He says, oh no, I'm never going to that church. Like some of you said one time, you know. Then it went a third week. She said, Dave, it's going a third week. Come on. He said, no, I'm not going. And he said, besides that, I don't have to go. They make so much noise, I can sit on the back porch and hear them. You know? It went a fourth week. She said, Dave, it's going a fourth week. You can come. Now, when I was at this church every Sunday morning, I didn't do anything. They just had a regular Sunday school morning, and they had a man teach the adult class. They just had one or two songs of worship, and then they taught, you know, and had like a little devotion. So I was able to sit out there where you are and listen to someone else teach. And then she says, but Dave, come on Sunday morning. They're quieter on Sunday morning. So he goes, okay. So he comes. And then the pastor at the last minute gets this brainstorm. He said, folks, this is Brother Mackey's last Sunday here, so I don't think we should have Sunday school. Everyone's staying in here, and we're just going to have church today. And pretty soon the drums are beating, and the Leslie was vibrating, and David is there. And he looked at his wife and said, you lied to me. She said, honey, I'm so sorry, but they've never done this before. He said, well, I'm going to stay here, but I'm not coming back. And he didn't come back, you know, Sunday night. I left town Monday morning. But Dave came back again and again and again. And the fifth time he was there, he was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. For the remission of sins by immersion. The very next service, he and his wife were sitting on the second pew. Boy, that ought to be one of the signs of the Holy Ghost, you know? But anyway, he's at the second pew. Amen. And David's worshiping God, you know? And so he's just got his hands, pretty soon he kind of jumps from one foot to the other foot, and right in the second pew during song service, God fills him with the Holy Ghost, and he begins to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God fills him. So that's on a Sunday night. So now it's Monday morning. David used to go to the Dutch Reformed Church. Okay, so on Monday morning, he calls his former denominational pastor. And his pastor said, where have you been? I haven't seen you for weeks. And David said, Pastor, I just wanted to tell you that I got the Holy Ghost, just like in the book of Acts, and I spoke in tongues, and you told me it didn't happen anymore. The pastor said, you mean you got the Holy Ghost, like in the book of Acts, and you spoke in tongues? David said, yes. The pastor said, I want to talk to you. David said, come on over right now. Pastor said, I'll be right there. So here comes the pastor with all those degrees, B-A-B-S, B-L-T, you know, all those degrees. He's been to college. He's been to the theological cemetery. He's been to all these places. And he's sitting there listening, awestruck, because David's crying, his wife is crying, and they're both trembling, and they're trying to tell him how real the Holy Ghost is. And when it was all over, you know what the pastor said? He said, I have 26 books in my library on the Holy Spirit, but I still don't really understand it. And folks, like I said this morning, you don't need 26 books. All you need is one book, and this is the book that you need to read. Oh, let's all stand and clap our hands for the Holy Ghost tonight, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and just raise our hands. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Demasaya tomo potema. Yanda bokosaria tarobo hosai tomo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, boy, the wind is blowing here now, everybody. Yeah, the wind is blowing here now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I think this would be a good time to close the service with an altar call and have all of us just step out of our pews and come and stand around this altar to be in one place in one accord. If you're here tonight and you've never spoken in tongues, I wish you would come with this church tonight. Or if you're with somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, bring them with us and we're going to come. Amen. And we're just going to worship God a little while. And if you're one of those that haven't spoken in tongues in a long time, boy, it would be great if everyone here would speak in tongues. Amen. Before you left this altar tonight. Amen. Here I am, Lord. Here. raise our hands and sing it as a prayer. Here I am. Folks, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am. Yeah, here I am, Lord, with no resistance. Here I am. Oh, let your spirit it move through me. Here I am. Sing it one more time. Oh, here I am. Oh, yeah, Lord. Yeah, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Here I am. Oh, I give all myself to you. Here I am. Oh, here I am. Spirit and move through me. Here I am. Let's all raise our hands right now and ask Him for it. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to sing, all right? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, because the wind is blowing here. Yeah, I see the tears. I see the trembling hands. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to hear the sound thereof. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right, Lord. I want your spirit. Lord, I need the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Have your way, God, in every saint of many years, every new convert, every backslider tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the evidence, the Bible evidence, the Bible evidence of the precious Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus.